Psalm 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34, 8. Psalm 139, 12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139, 12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139, 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Hebrews 6, 19, 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Hebrews 6, 19, 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Hebrews 6, 19, 20. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. We spend a moment in prayer now as we prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word this evening. We have been blessed tremendously every single day of our lives. We're the recipients of all types of blessings that come from the hand of God. His grace is always sufficient for us. He promised us that we would have a grace in every area of life. All of us appreciate experiential grace, salvation grace. We appreciate experiential grace, grace by which to live each day. And all of us are aware of the fact that one of these days, God will see fit to take us home either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. And so we have an emphasis then upon grace in all of these areas. We have the emphasis on grace in salvation, grace by which to live a triumphant, victorious life, and grace that will eventually take us to our eternal home. In preparation for this night, I want to share with you the fact that we're going to review just for a few moments the verses that we've been studying in past days. And then we're going to branch into a different subject this evening, one that I think will be a challenge to all of us. When we looked at Ephesians 4:24, which we now see on the screen, it says that you put on the new man, according to God, is created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Ephesians 4:24 is a magnificent verse because it is an emphasis again on one of those verbs which we call the verbs in the infinitive mood. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. And when I see Ephesians 4:24, I see an emphasis upon the fact that a person who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior becomes an individual who's new in species. We'll look at these words carefully. We have the Greek word kai here at the beginning, and that you put on, and there's an emphasis there on putting on the new man. Putting on is the Greek word enduo. You see it here on the screen. It is the aorist middle infinitive. And again, we've emphasized in the past that the middle voice emphasizes that the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. I'm always amazed when I come to this verse because I see things here that normally we don't think about. When it says that we are to put on the new man, I notice that the Greek word for new is kainos, which is K-A-I-N-O-S. Right here it's used with the new at the end. But there's a difference between the two words, chronology, which is continuation of time, and the word kainos, which means a specific time. So what we have here is a word that could be translated new in species. We're going to analyze that for a few moments here this evening. The scripture says that you put on, you'll be benefited if you do. It should be the wish or desire of every individual to be born into God's kingdom, to be the recipient of what God does in salvation. And then it emphasizes the fact that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, it is not a continuation or chronology of life. It is an emphasis upon a new specific type of life, which is the word described as new in species. Notice, if you will, the rest of the verse, it goes on to say, according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of truth. All of these words are extremely important because there's an emphasis here upon the Greek word dikaiosune, which is an emphasis upon what we receive when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. We're the recipients of imputed righteousness. Not our righteousness, but His righteousness. We've analyzed many, many times over the past years that beautiful word, dikaiosune, the word that is translated here, righteousness. Also, there's an emphasis upon the word holiness. And then there's the Greek word aletheia, which is the word for truth. We have analyzed the fact that God has given us the responsibility of receiving truth for our souls every single day. We have the responsibility of growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility of having a love and appreciation for the eternal Word of God, the truth of God. We're to receive and then utilize and make use of the truth of God's Word. When you go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, here's what you read. And to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, write. And then we have these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the chief ruler, and the creation of God. A few sessions back, you will remember that we gave you emphasis on the Greek word that is found here, which is the word A-M-E-N. It is the word that is translated verily, verily, truly, truly. But notice here again, to the messenger of the church at Laodicea, write, we'll come back to that word in a moment, these things says the Amen. And there you have it in the Greek. If you've seen it in the past, wonderful. If you haven't, here it is. It is the Greek word A-M-E-N that is translated verily, verily, or truly, truly. Notice again, if you will, please, these things says the Amen. And then we have some unique words presented to us here. We have the article the, and then we have the Greek word martus. And then we have the word article again, the, and then we have the word pistos. Then we have a conjunction chi, and then we have the Greek word alethinos. Looking at these words, you're able to see how fantastic it is here when it emphasizes the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Amen, who is considered and classified as having a trustworthy title. We're going to spend a few moments now looking at these individual words. First of all, we're going to look at the word write. And to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, write. And when you look at this word write, you will see that it is a verb in the imperative mood. It's the aorist active imperative of grapho. Grapho is the Greek word for right. But the way the word is used here is that it is a command. These things says the Amen. Right. And then we have these unique words. I want to put them on the screen individually and let you take a look at them. We're calling this a trustworthy title. The first word that we see here is the Greek word, which is an article, the. And then you have the Greek word, A-M-E-N. A trustworthy title, Amen. Then you have the same article again, ho. And this time, we have the word, martus. Then you have the same article again. And then you have pistos. So you have an emphasis upon faithful. You have an emphasis upon witness. You have an emphasis upon the trustworthy title of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Amen. Then he's described here as the chief ruler and the creation of God. When I think in terms of this particular verse of Scripture, I'm able to see that there's an emphasis upon the various facets in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. He's a witness. He's the chief ruler. He is the one who is the creation of God. Beautiful, magnificent presentation. Now I'm going to go to James chapter 1, verse 3. When I look at James chapter 1, verse 3, here's what I discovered. I'm going to read the verse to you, and then we're going to analyze it. In James 1, 3, it says, knowing the approved part of your faith works endurance. Taking a look at this magnificent verse, James 1, 3, the first word here is knowing that the approved part of your faith works. Knowing is an emphasis upon having an awareness. It is the Greek word gnosko, and all of us are familiar with that word. Knowing, then we have that the approved part of your faith works. So what I've done here is to take these words and divide them and let us look at them individually. First of all, let's look at the word knowing, that the approved part of your faith works endurance. So what did I do? I took those words and put them out separately for you to see. First of all, here is the word knowing, gnosko, the beautiful, magnificent word that we've learned and analyzed a lot of times, the ability to have insight, the ability to know, the ability to utilize. In other words, when knowing becomes a definite part of our lives, it moves from knowledge to epinosis, or the utilization of that knowledge. The next word that is used here is dokimon, which is the word translated approved. The next word that you find here is the word faith, which is P-I-S-T-I-S. Then you have the word, which is interesting indeed. It is the word that is translated works. And it is erkomai with a prefix kata, kata erkomai. Many, many years ago, I learned that the word, Greek word, erkomai means to work. Ergon means to work. Here it is emphasis upon the fact that faith in the individual's life can become utilizable. It is workable, and it brings about certain results. One of those results is the one that is presented here to us now, and it is the Greek word that is translated endurance. Now, we're going to analyze for just a few seconds that beautiful word. When I look at it, here's what I see. H-U-P-O, and then M-O-N-E, hupomone. I'm not sure whether you're all that excited about all these words, but I am, because I want you to see how fantastic that is. This is telling us that when you and I become properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have knowledge of Him, which is gnosis, that moves over into advanced knowledge, which is epinosis. It becomes something that is approved in our lives, is workable in our lives, and it brings about something that you and I must realize, and that is, it brings about hupomone, which is translated endurance. Okay, let's analyze the word for a few moments. We have hupo, H-U-P-O, which is a prefix or a preposition here, which means under, and mone, which means to remain. And so endurance means the ability to remain under certain circumstances that will not always be pleasant, many times will be very trying, circumstances that will bring about a challenge to us in life. But what this is telling us is that when we have the proper working faith, then there will be endurance or hupomone. What I've discovered here, and I want to share with you something just a little bit different this evening, and that is that you and I have the responsibility of allowing the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work in us in such a way that we will fulfill one of those words that I presented to you at the first when we talked about the fact that Jesus Christ has this worthy title. And that is the word that is translated witness. When I looked up the word witness, I discovered something here. I discovered, and I sat there and thought about this in relationship to our church family. And my question came to me, and then I came, I believe, with a proper answer. The question that came to me was, what about witnessing from the standpoint of Grace Bible Church family? How effective is our witnessing? What is involved in our witnessing? I'm aware of the fact that many of you witness on a daily basis in various ways. I thought about it. I thought about the way that you and I have the responsibility of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, what is a definition for witnessing? And I checked it, and here's what I found. Witnessing is the act of personally communicating the gospel. Now, I know that that may sound very normal, but let's look at it. Witnessing is the act of personally communicating the gospel as found in the Holy Scriptures to unbelievers for the purpose of giving them information necessary to effect their own salvation through faith alone in Christ alone. I thought that that was a very good way of saying what we do when we're witnessing. We have fun. I have fun in witnessing. And I try to do it in different ways. And sometimes it's verbal. Sometimes I use words to be a witness. And sometimes I feel like that the only thing I need to do, and I feel like probably the only thing that you need to do, is to have not witness of the lips, but witness of the life. And that simply means that your life will manifest the love that you have in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this again. A definition for witnessing. Witnessing is the act of personally communicating the gospel as found in the Holy Scriptures to unbelievers for the purpose of giving them information necessary to effect their own salvation through faith alone in Christ alone. What I've discovered, and I'm sure that all of you will agree, that witnessing is the responsibility of every born-again believer. This simply means that every day that you and I get up and we have that day before us, we do not know those with whom we will associate, but we have responsibility. And what I've heard about some of you, in fact, most of you, that I've heard anything about your witnessing, that you are a consistent witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Witnessing, then, is the responsibility of every born-again believer. Do it in your way. Do it as you believe that the Spirit of God directs you. So as a royal ambassador, we are each the personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Royal ambassadors must be properly prepared, motivated, and have the knowledge of the Word of God so that we can give out the plan of salvation. We actually are described in the Bible as God's agents of witnessing. When I thought about this, I thought about how many different areas that people are witnessing. For instance, I put down the divine institution of the family, a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think in terms of our church as a witness, as a family, and then as individual families. The witness of the lips, the witness of the life. There are some things that we have to have in mind. One is that we have to have an understanding of the Word of God. I believe we need to have a concept of the doctrines of soteriology, which simply means those things related to the person of Jesus Christ. What do we know about Him? Just a few moments ago, it was wonderful to be able to hear and to know that in prayer, it was mentioned again how fantastic God is in loving us in Jesus Christ, in willing to give Himself for us. And there was an emphasis on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding necessary doctrines to be an effective witness. Soteriology, then, is the body of doctrines that describe the saving work of Jesus Christ. This means salvation is faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Could I define for you for just a moment the word grace? Grace is all that God is free to do for man because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Man receives grace, or mankind receives grace from God. You and I have the responsibility of witnessing. Perhaps a word that I should give right now is the word heathen. Do you have a definition for the word heathen? It's a collective term, I believe, for unbelievers. Not specifically in any particular location, but anywhere in the world. Perhaps I should give you the word reconciliation. Many of you would be able to define that word. Reconciliation means the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that removed the barrier between God and man. That's reconciliation. When I think in terms of the subject of reconciliation, I always conclude that Jesus Christ provides salvation for everyone. In other words, what I'm saying there is that all are reconcilable, but not all are reconciled. So you heard just what I said there specifically. Reconciliation, then, is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that removed the barrier between God and man. Perhaps I should use the word also regeneration. What is regeneration? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ that satisfied the righteous demands of the Father. Perhaps I should use the word imputation. You've heard it many times from this pulpit over the years. The crediting of God's righteousness to the believer's account at the moment of salvation. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that our spiritual bank account as an unsaved individual is empty. But I want you also to know that the one who has the ability to put everything necessary in that spiritual bank account has already done it. He's made it possible for you and me to draw on that magnificent spiritual bank account. Imputation is a beautiful word. It reveals the fact that God was willing to give everything, giving His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son willing to give everything because He was willing to leave glory, come to the earth, and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind. You and I have the responsibility of witnessing that magnificent gift. So I put it down like this. Witnessing, definition. Witnessing, understanding the concepts for witnessing. Understanding God's weapons for witnessing. Realizing that the Holy Spirit is the sovereign executive of witnessing. Some years ago, I read this and I felt like it was quite interesting, and I want to recapitulate here this evening. They were talking about the fact that witnessing has an analogy. The analogy is going fishing. I thought that was interesting. I want to turn here and read to you the emphasis that I read some years ago, and I'm seeing it again tonight. The fishing analogy to witnessing. When you go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus actually informs us that we have the responsibility of witnessing. They said if you're going to be a good fisherman, fishing for fish, there's some things you need to know. In the light of that, if you're going to be an effective fisherman of men for salvation, there's some things you need to know. One, fishermen must have a desire to fish. I thought that's kind of interesting. Most fishermen for fish have a desire to fish, and that's what they do. Then I read here that the fisherman must have the equipment to fish. When I think about that, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that you and I have the tools. God has given us everything we need to be able to explain to an unsaved person what salvation is really all about. Most of us have heard it so many times, we would have no difficulty at all explaining how much God loves mankind. You'd probably use John 3:16. Probably even choose to use the Roman road. Many times we've used those scriptures in the book of Romans. We are to have a desire to fish. We must have the equipment to fish. And then I thought this was interesting. Fishermen must go where the fish are. I thought that was interesting. Well, you and I are aware of the fact that everywhere we go, that's where the fish are. It may be at school, it may be at your work, it may be at your recreation time, it may be on your vacation. Wherever you and I find ourselves, we have the responsibility to be a good fisherman. Fishermen must be willing to understand fishing technique. Fishermen must be patient. Now, I have to tell you that's one of the things that I did not and do not have is patience when it comes to fishing. Now, if you have patience, that's wonderful because that's what it takes, I'm told. Fishermen are to be aware of the fact that they can be rewarded. And most of you have caught a fish or fishes, many, and you're aware of the fact of your happiness when you pull that fish out and you're rewarded. Fishermen then will be rewarded. I went on to read something else here. It says, the gospel presentation must be clear. Unbelievers need pertinent gospel information only. One of the dangers, of course, of witnessing is that we talk too much instead of allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to work. Unbelievers need pertinent gospel information only. This statement was very interesting to me. Respect the boundaries of the gospel. Respect the boundaries of the gospel. And then respect the freedom and the privacy of the unbeliever. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that you don't corner a person in a crowd and try to witness to the individual where they're embarrassed to hear you talk before all the others, while all the others are hearing. So, respect the boundaries of the gospel. Be patient. Do not make an emphasis, put an emphasis upon yourself or even on the individual to whom you're witnessing. I thought all these were very interesting. Some of the things to avoid, I thought this was good. Avoid, when you're witnessing, arguing. A lot of people will come to you in their lost condition with their biblical answers. And they know, they think more than you know. And sometimes they know a lot about the Bible, but they have it confused. So be careful in the area of don't argue. Don't get off on false issues. Do not embarrass the unbeliever. Judging others for apparently not witnessing is not the right thing to do also. Bragging about how many you witnessed to per day is not a good thing. And then there's an emphasis here on prayer in relationship to witnessing. Pray for advantageous circumstances for witnessing. This is unique. You never know just exactly when God is going to open up that door. I call it divine appointments. You can call it whatever you like. But there are many times when you find yourself either in conversation with an individual or in the process of a conversation with individuals, and you realize that it is a divine appointment. God has allowed you to be here or at that particular point at that particular time. And there may be some specific need that will come up in the individual's life, and they will become concerned about talking with you in a private basis. Avoid side issues. Avoid embarrassing the unbeliever. Measure your spiritual life by witnessing is also a problem oftentimes. Bragging about witnessing. I thought these were interesting points when it said, pray for advantageous circumstances, specific requests. Pray for successful witnessing to individuals. Pray for successful witnessing in relationship to the things related to our nation, our world. Not all petitions for faithful witnessing are granted. Go where the fish are. I have it on the screen again for you to see. Be patient. You will be rewarded. And avoid these various pitfalls, some we've mentioned here tonight. When I think in terms of these scriptures that we've been analyzing, especially, I see again, knowing that the approved part of your faith works. Endurance. I notice also that the title that we found in the book of Revelation presents Jesus Christ as a trustworthy individual. The word amen is the word which means verily, verily, truly, truly. And in that passage of scripture in Revelation 3, there's an emphasis upon faithful witness, an emphasis upon truth, an emphasis upon the chief ruler, the creation of God. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the challenge which is ours to again realize that we have the responsibility of giving out the good news of salvation. There are many ways that you allow us to witness, and we thank you for it. It could be to our loved ones. It could be to our neighbors. It could be to our working associates. It could be wherever we may find ourselves on a daily basis. Help us to be alert and keenly aware of the responsibility we have, because we do not know, but the witness that we give out may be that person's last opportunity to receive the good news of the gospel of salvation. each one of us in this auditorium tonight, each one hearing this voice tonight, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we all are to be ambassadors for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be sensitive to our responsibility. And most of all, help us to know that it is not energy of the flesh that brings about success. It is an opportunity to allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to work magnificently in utilizing the verses of Scripture that we give out. We thank you that the Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life." We're thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to come as the God-man, God in the flesh, and go to the cross to bear our sins. We realize afresh and anew tonight that salvation is a gift of God by faith alone, in Christ alone. We realize again that the Scripture reveals very vividly, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible presents very emphatically, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." We do not know, but at this very moment, there may be someone who so desperately needs to make that decision. And who knows but what this may be that individual's last opportunity. We're aware of the fact that life at the longest is so short. We're only one breath from eternity. We're only one heartbeat. We do not know when that will take place. But we're thankful that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are aware of the fact that when that does take place, the Scripture says we'll be absent from the body and at home with our Savior. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.